The column collapsed into an orange glow, and, like a second dawn, a glowing, diffuse mass rose above the horizon, a long, glowing tail spreading across half the sky in a great, flamboyant curve. Masked by the daylight, brilliant in the night, the comet receded, day by day, drawing its cargo of destruction back into the depths of the solar system. The brothers paused in a suddenly restored world, a world of richness and peace. The ancestor was a wide-eyed, frightened creature that lingered above ground, perhaps incautiously trapped there. Beyond her, Bobby glimpsed what appeared to be the shore of an inland sea. Lush jungles lapped the swampy lowlands along the coast, and a broad river decanted from distant blue mountains. The broad, ridged backs of what must be crocodiles sliced through the river's sluggish, muddy waters. This was a land thick with life, unfamiliar in detail, and yet not so unlike the forests of his own youth. But the sky was not a true blue, more a subtle violet, he thought. Even the shapes of the clouds scattered overhead seemed wrong. Perhaps the very air was different here, so deep in time. A herd of horned creatures moved along the swampy coast, looking something like rhinos, but their movements were strange, almost bird-like, as, lumbering, they mingled, browsed, nested, fought, preened. And there was a herd of what looked at first glance like ostriches, walking upright with bobbing heads, nervous movements, and startled, suspicious glances. In the trees, Bobby glimpsed a huge shadow, moving slowly as if tracking the giant plant-eaters. Perhaps this was a carnivore. Even, he thought with a thrill, a raptor. All around the dinosaur herds, clouds of insects hovered.
"We are privileged," David said. "We've a relatively good view of the wildlife. The dinosaur age has been a disappointment for the time tourists. Like Africa, it turns out to be huge and baffling and dusty and mostly empty. It stretches, after all, over hundreds of millions of years."
"But," Bobby said dryly, "it was kind of disappointing to discover that T-Rex was, after all, just a scavenger. Ah, all this beauty, David, and no mind to appreciate it. Was it waiting for us all this time?"
"Ah, yes, the unseen beauty.
Were the beautiful volute and cone shells of the Eocene epoch and the gracefully sculpted ammonites of the secondary period created that man might ages afterward admire them in his cabinet? Darwin, in The Origin of Species."
"So he didn't know either?"
"I suppose not. This is an ancient place, Bobby. You can see it, an antique community that has evolved together across hundreds of millions of years, and yet
it would all disappear when the Cretaceous wormwood did its damage.
The earth is nothing but a vast graveyard, Bobby, and as we dive deeper into the past, those bones are rising again to confront us."
"Not quite. We have the birds."
"The birds, yes. Rather a beautiful end to this particular evolutionary subplot, don't you think? Let's hope we turn out so well. Let's go on."
"Yes."
So they plunged once more, dropping safely through the dinosaur's Mesozoic summer, 200 million years deep. Ancient jungles swept in a meaningless green wash across Bobby's view, framing the timid, mindless eyes of millions of generations of ancestors, breeding, hoping, dying. The greenery abruptly cleared, revealing a flat, dusty plain and empty sky. The denuded land was a desert, baked hard and flat beneath a high, harsh sun, the sands uniformly reddish in color. Even the hills had shifted and flowed, so deep was time. The ancestor here was a small, reptile-like creature who nibbled busily on what looked like the remains of a baby rat. She was on the fringe of a scrubby forest of stunted ferns and conifers that bordered a straggling river. Something like an iguana scampered nearby, flashing rows of sharp teeth. Perhaps that was the mother of all the dinosaurs, Bobby mused.